About 2 years ago, I had to go back to seminary to finish my fourth year to get my Master of Divinity degree. I was still here preaching, but the kids needed to go to school back in St. Louis. And so there was a time when I was here and my wife was going to go to St. Louis and get the kids enrolled in school and all that sort of thing. The problem was that there was no room in the inn. Our apartment on campus at the seminary wasn't ready yet. And so we searched around on the internet, and of course we wanted as cheap as we possibly could find, right? So we looked around and we found the Fenton Inn in St. Louis, Missouri. Really, 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 really cheap rates. And so we drive to St. Louis and we check into the Fenton Inn, and there's a reason why it was so cheap for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever we were there. It was under construction. It was just a mess. It wasn't the nicest of places. And I said, you know, maybe we should find something else. And Jennifer's, no, this will be fine. Okay, you know, just leave us here and go away. So I left them and I went back and I was here in town. And then about a week and a half later, I get a call from Jennifer. And she said, something strange is going on in this place. I said, what? She says, well, we're getting bit all the time. I said, is it spiders? What is it? No, I don't think so. And I said, well, keep an eye out for it. So she does, and she calls me the next day, and she says, well, I think we found what the problem is. I said, what? She said, well, we kind of turned up the mattress, and we found these, like, little insects. And I think it might be these insects, and I have no idea what they are. So I'm going to go to the library, and I'm going to do some research. And I said, well, go do library and tell me what these little insects are, but kill them. So she goes to the library, and the next day she calls me, and she says, well, I've got good news and bad news. I said, well, what's the good news? She said, well, I found out what the insects are. What are they? They're bed bugs. Bed bugs? You mean from the children's rhyme, you know, sleep tight, or good night, sleep tight? Yeah, I said that. She said, yeah. She says, they're bed bugs. I said, ooh. I said, we'll kill them. She said, well, that's the bad news. I said, well, what's the bad news? She says, you can't kill them. I said, what do you mean you can't kill them? Just squash them. She said, they lay eggs everywhere, and once you have them, you cannot get rid of these things. I said, oh, goodness. I said, well, find another room. She said, well, we can find another room, but I think until we can actually take every single article of clothing that we've got, every sheet and everything, and wash it 100 times in boiling hot water, we're going to have bed bugs. And I said, oh, my goodness. See, this is how much my wife loves me, because she has forgiven me for this, I think. They got a different hotel room, but they stayed in the Fenton Inn for like another week until we finally got to the seminary, got in, washed everything. And I mean, we were looking for bed bugs as much as we could. We were putting Vaseline around all the bedposts because it gets caught in the Vaseline. But I think we got rid of them. So if any of you come to my house, there are no bed bugs. They're not there. But they're creepy things. Bed bugs, they're horrible. They're like, ooh, they send tingles up your spine. Who would want to go and sleep in a room with bed bugs? And yet, today in our lesson from Acts 10, Peter has the same response to God when God tells him that he's supposed to go to Cornelius' house and spread the gospel. Today we're continuing our story of Acts, and we're in Acts 10, which is just an absolutely wonderful chapter. The first part, which we didn't read, is that a guy named Cornelius, who is a Gentile, has a vision from God that says, go find Peter and invite him to your house. And then the second section, which we did read, is where Peter gets this vision from God, and he says, you're supposed to go to this Gentile's house. And then the third part is what happens when Peter goes to Cornelius' house. But the part that we read, this part from Acts, this vision that Peter has, this is where I want to spend some time this morning because, you know, Peter was a good Jew. Peter was a great Jew. He always followed the law, the ceremonial law. You know, and the Jews at that point, they weren't allowed to eat certain foods. And you know this because you've been around Jewish people. They're not allowed to touch Gentiles. They're supposed to be set apart from those people. And then listen what happens in this vision. Peter sees this sheet that comes down, and this voice from heaven in verse 13, Acts 10, 13, a voice tells him, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat." Now, inside this sheet is a whole bunch of different animals, clean and unclean. Peter would have never, ever eaten unclean animals. They're like bed bugs to him. They are like cooties to him. He does not like this. And he says this to God, which we should probably not ever say to God. He says in verse 14, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." And then a voice spoke to him a second time, and he says, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." The Jews that lived in Jerusalem were from the tribe of Abraham. And these Jews were set apart by God. And they felt that they were set apart. They knew they were set apart. But the question you got to ask yourself is, why were they set apart? Why did God call these people out and make him his own? And if you look at that calling of Abraham, God said to Abraham, "You have been called out." Why? Because you're special? Because you're neat? Because you're better looking? You're better dressed? Or no. He says, "I'm calling you out." Why? To be a blessing to this world. You are going to be my chosen people, but not because you're special, but because you're going to be a blessing to this world. And somewhere along the line, Israel forgot that. They forgot that the reason why they'd been called and brought into this world was because God was going to have them be a blessing to other people. Not so that they could set themselves apart and be their own little colony and community, but so that they could spread God's word and God's law to other people. To be a people who are God's people as an example to what God's people looks like. But they forgot that. And by the time that Peter comes onto the scene, the Jews, they wouldn't eat any food that wasn't blessed. They wouldn't, and of course that was the ceremonial law, but they wouldn't touch Gentiles. They wouldn't associate with Gentiles. They were their own closed community. And when Jesus Christ came into the scene, he said, "I'm going to break through that. You are no longer going to be just your own isolated community." You'll remember from Acts 1:8, where God says, "You are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And folks, to get to the ends of the earth, the Jewish people had to break through the prejudice they had about the Gentiles, about the food, about the customs, about everything that they had learned. And folks, it was very difficult for them. It was extremely difficult for them. Look at what Peter said. "Surely not, Lord. Surely not. You don't want me to break through and go eat this food and go talk to the Gentiles." But God said, "Yes, I want you to." Now, how does that apply for us today in our church here? Well, we talked before how we live in this Christian bubble, how we like to associate with only other Christians, how we feel comfortable with only other Christians. We only want to listen to Christian music. We only want to go shop at Christian businesses. We want to kind of be our own little Christian enclave that only associates with other Christian people. And we've talked before in Acts about how that's very difficult to go and spread the gospel to other people if we kind of live in our own Christian bubble. But this, from Cornelius, takes it one step further. Here we're saying, "Lord, we don't want to go out there because they've got cooties. They got bed bugs. We don't like those people. They do things that are completely horrible. They sin. They cheat on their wives. Their kids are no good. Their business. They cheat in business. They cheat on their taxes. They all these horrible things that they do. But we don't do that. We're better than that. We're God's people. And we would never associate with people that would be so unholy." I got a news flash for you. Sin exists everywhere. Sin exists everywhere, even in this community. We have cooties. We have bed bugs. The only advantage that we have is that Jesus Christ has come and wiped us clean so that we can stand before God. Jesus Christ, who in heaven said, Lord, you want me to go down to those people and redeem them? They've got cooties. They got bed bugs. They've got sin. And yet obediently, Jesus Christ descended from his throne on high and became flesh and came and dwelt among people with cooties and bed bugs. And those people with cooties and bed bugs killed him. But he rose again. He rose again on Easter morning so that he could show that you and I had power over sin and death. That's the message from Cornelius today. That's the message from Acts 10, because after Peter finally hears it three times from God, he says, okay, I'll go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius' servants come and get Peter. Peter goes with these servants. He goes to Cornelius' house. And while he's there, Cornelius says, Peter walks into his house and he says, why am I here? And Cornelius says, I don't know. God told me to come get you. So Peter says, well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And he lays out the whole gospel story to Cornelius. And Cornelius comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's baptized, he and his whole family. And that was the first time in Acts where the gospel goes to somebody other than the Jewish people. It goes to the Gentiles. And we're going to find out next week that the Jewish people are very upset about this. They're not happy about Peter. So we're going to talk about that next week. But Peter was following God's command. And he went out to people that he felt were unclean, people who had cooties, people that he would have never associated with. And God's calling us to do the same thing. God's calling us to go out and be the church to people that we normally wouldn't associate with. There was a great newscast on the BBC this last week. I don't know if you caught it. But there's a church, a Christian church, that lives in Pakistan. And if you know Pakistan, it's about half Christian and half Muslim. And they do not like each other. As a matter of fact, they've been fighting each other for over, you know, a thousand years. I mean, these people do not like each other. And how is it that this church can spread the good news to the Muslim people in Pakistan when they don't even like each other? So this year, they decided to do something about it. I don't know if you know, but we're now in the middle of Ramadan, the Islam holiday of Ramadan. And during Ramadan, the Pakistani people fast during the day, and then at night they eat. But it's a big problem for them because you need to prepare the food in advance, and it's just a big problem. The church says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to prepare the food for you so that you can celebrate Ramadan. So the Christians came together and prepared the food according to the Islamic traditions and prepared Ramadan food so when these people break their fast, they're going to come to the church and they're going to eat their food. And that little church in Pakistan is trying to break through the barriers that exist between the Pakistani people who are Christian and Muslim. And I am sure there's a whole lot of people saying, you can't do that. You can't associate with those people. They've got bed bugs. They've got cooties. You know what? God is more powerful than that. God calls us to be the church to people of all kinds, of all people, to love them as he loved us by coming down and dwelling with us and dying to take away our sins. That, Jesus Christ, is more powerful than anything else in this world. And he lives in Pakistan, he lives in this church, he lives everywhere. For his sake, amen.